pass on straight away to Ikal. Ikal Anjali is, which I'll introduce herself, but works with the Takana Pastoralist Community. She'll describe a little bit of what she's doing, but also the organisation of the of Takana Pastoralists. And look forward very much to hearing what you can say on this theme. If you can keep it to about 10-15 minutes, would be great.
Good afternoon again. My names are Ikal Angele. The people who I have interacted with know I really can't say I have a job description. I get into everything with the community. I come from the Turkana community, but I tend to work with pastoralists, fisher folk, and the general northern Kenya communities. But because of colonialism, we got a boundary. So we then have the Nyangasom who are in Sudan. We have the Nyangasom in Ethiopia. So somebody put a boundary that then splits us up. But we are one, which we call an Afrikaans community. It's one huge, we have the same dialect. And so the issues from resources to lifestyle to security to peace, they just go round and round. And so I tend to work with all around. Generally, we have a very traditional way of life where for me to go back and work at home, I tend to come in as the daughter of the community. That's my entry point. Otherwise, I will not be listened to from all angles, both by the elders and the younger generation. We did depend on a council of elders, traditional system of governance, which because of a monetary economy, greed and not need, we have broken that up. The politicians found it easier to go through, to basically weaken the traditional systems of governance, to then be able to have only a political system of governance. And so that has become a weakness for us. One of the things that I hope Stuart will help me set that back up, because we really need it. So what I'm going to talk about is a system of life, a livelihood within three different setups. We are predominantly pastoralists, but because of different changes, we are going into fisher folk and some sort of subsistence agriculture, really basic agriculture. Millets, because in many cases it's a hard to reach area, so you get that. Even if you had wanted to trade off with somebody, you actually did not have that person to come in to bring the food. So we have had to then produce for ourselves. But we are under a lot of pressure. We're under pressure because of scarce resources. We have really reduced resources, so there's a lot of conflict that's coming up. We have the whole discussion about development. And ideally, what is seen as development does not see our way of life as development. So it's the big question, and if many of you have done a lot of research or read books, the big question is pastoralism viable in the 21st century? And everybody is bringing up that issue, but no one is going back to the communities to ask them. What do we need you to, what do you need? Are you okay? Just no one. People just come in because we are leading off animals, because yes, we are trying to get education, and because the government is denying us healthcare because it's a hard to reach area, it's been seen that we have to really settle down. Settling down is not ecologically sustainable, because if you look at areas where a settlement scheme has been put, that those are the areas that there's a lot of environmental degradation. And because of the setups, because of the aid agencies that are coming up, I'm sure most of you saw the whole campaign on farming in the Horn of Africa. And unfortunately, most of that is a political move. More aid goes in, because you see, the food will not come from the UK in terms of food, it comes in terms of money. How that money gets to the people in terms of food is really questionable. So they have to really overplay the situation. But for as long as we are not part of the process of what is seen to be ideal development. Next year, say the children will raise money, the next year Oxfam will raise money, and different organizations will come in. But for the community, it's really what has come in terms of support for these communities is the most dignified means of living. We are a proud community, but what is happening is old men who would typically have their goods and just their lifestyle are being forced to sit down, settle in a very urban center, and wait for food relief. It really drains, because it is the most dignified way when you see the media plastering women sitting out and begging for food, and we think that we are supporting a way of life. For every contribution you're making to Oxfam and Save the Children UK, it's actually basically taking people back. People are stopping to the skill, the traditional knowledge of survival from one generation to another is no longer there, because they don't see the need. And people are cutting down trees, because when I go and tell them, oh, you know, you shouldn't cut down trees, I say, well, Oxfam will come, World Vision will come. Most of the projects that are being set up because they have to justify some money. And what we are asking for is just some sort of support into what we think can work. What we're saying is, allow us to have a traditional knowledge. Bring in the exogenous knowledge. Let us join hands. Let us chart the way forward. But the whole idea of somebody deciding what direction we should take is never going to happen. We depend on natural resources. That's why for me, environmental justice is the only way that I know that I can continuously push for the policies and the agenda of the people. Yes, people are going into subsistence farming. It's not to say that we don't want agriculture. We are able to, it's like a stool. If you see an African stool, it's a three-legged stool. So you need the water, because we depend on the fishing, we depend on the pastoralism, and we depend on the subsistence agriculture. And that's all we just keep saying. Just allow us to have a three-legged stool. Because if you break one leg, there is no way that stool is going to balance. And you know, in terms of food production, pastoralism is a very great way of food production. It's just that we have to be able to support the pastoralism, where access to market, access to veterinary. I was just discussing with Stuart, the practical action. We have a new bill in Parliament, which is a veterinary bill, which basically does not recognize the community health workers. Yet, the veterinaries with the degrees will never agree to come and work in the same place where we live, because it's quite remote. So when our own governments are pushing for bills and acts of parliament that do not recognize that gap, the players, the person in the homestead who's able to come and inject your cattle or your goats, then it's just that gap that we have to keep waiting for somebody from Nairobi to come and ship the animals. By the time they get there, all the animals are dead. And then we say, oh, not sustainable. It's a vicious cycle. Yes, we understand everything is playing along, because we as a community have to discuss population control. The tricky part is, and I had this discussion at home, is that we, most of you know how goats really eat up a lot of grass, but it's a pride among us. For us, for me to be able to say, go to the village and tell the people at home, you need to sell some animals, because it's not sustainable to have 10,000 goats in this area or 10,000 animals, then the government has to play that role of bringing the market to the people. Because for as long as we're playing a middleman in between, we will always think, well, we're getting ripped off. We keep pushing, we're asking the development partners that they have to play that role of supporting the market in between. Because that market in between is what will make it environmentally friendly and viable, ecologically viable, and economically sustainable. Because yes, we need to sell to be able to sustain the environment. But somebody has to allow, give us a market access. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, and it's a particular time when there's this focus on East Africa and the Horn of Africa. It's very helpful to have some of those comments, we might reflect on them. But I think the one which I really take from you is the efficiency of pastoralism. And I mean, I guess most of the people here understand that, but really, outside, they don't. And they don't understand that these vast grasslands can be very well managed, and very efficiently managed, by the pastoralism properly organised using traditional institutions. So by destroying those traditional institutions, as you're describing, Ikal, you're doing a huge disservice to one of the most productive forms of food production.